From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will conclude a message called Hallowed Be Thy Name, Our First Concern in Prayer, part of this series of studies on the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. The devotional for today is called Complete Safety. The text is Deuteronomy 33 and verse 12. And of Benjamin he said, The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Yes, there is no safety like that which comes of dwelling near to God. For His best beloved, the Lord can find no surer or safer place. O Lord, let me always abide under Thy shadow, close to Thy wounded side. Nearer and nearer would I come to Thee, my Lord, and when once specially near Thee, I would abide there forever. What a covering is that which the Lord gives to His chosen! Not a fairer roof shall cover him, nor a bomb-proof casement, nor even an angel's wing, but Jehovah himself. Nothing can come at us when we are thus covered. This covering the Lord will grant us all the day long, however long the day. Lord, let me abide this day consciously beneath this canopy of love, this pavilion of sovereign power. Does the third clause mean that the Lord in His temple would dwell among the mountains of Benjamin, or that the Lord would be where Benjamin's burden should be placed, or does it mean that we are borne upon the shoulders of the Eternal? In any case, the Lord is the support and strength of His saints. Lord, let me ever enjoy Thy help, and then my arms will be sufficient for me.
Still my strength and shield.
Have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read revival during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. In continuing this series of messages on the subject of prayer, Dr. Cairns has been dealing especially with Christ's own instructions as found in the Lord's Prayer. The first, and indeed the chief petition in the prayer and in all prayer, is, "Hallowed be thy name." As Dr. Cairns is pointing out, we frequently become so engrossed with our own needs and comfort that we forget that the chief end of man is to glorify God. This should lie at the heart of all of our praying. Now here is Dr. Cairns to bring the conclusion of the message entitled, "Hallowed be thy name, our first concern in prayer."
There are people who are setting out to do things in the name of the Lord, and all they are doing is profaning his name. I bought my wife a very nice stocking stuffer for Christmas. I don't go shopping too often, but I went shopping myself. You husbands take note and be good like me. I went and did this, and I went to Best Buy, and I looked around to see what I could get for her that she would really enjoy, and I found a set of four videos that were from the BBC on the history, rather a half-jocular look at the whole historical saga of the Crusades. I must say, Joan has enjoyed it vicariously. I have sat and watched them all. She hasn't seen one of them yet, but that's the whole idea. When you buy your wife something, make sure it's going to be something you like. So, you know, I have read apologies for the Crusades. It was a hellish, popish, vicious, wicked, you can name what, put whatever epithet you like to it, adventure in the rottenest of power politics by the man of sin who sits on the banks of the Tiber. All in the name of Jesus Christ. To rape, to mutilate, and to murder friends and foes alike. All in the name of the Prince of Peace that has condemned the Middle East to centuries of bloodshed and horror. Think of the things people do in the name of Jesus Christ. I have seen Klansmen on television spew out their murderous filth using the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, my friend, that is profaning God's name. Profaning it. Be very, very careful. Be very, 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 very careful of ever mixing a social agenda or a political agenda with the name of Jesus Christ. That is not to say that God is neutral in all the matters that have to do with social and political issues. He is not. He is not. But it is to say that we are so viciously perverted in our own hearts that we will take the almighty name of God and we will stamp it on the designs of our own heart. And it profanes his name. Be very careful of that. For so often God is profaned by what people do in his name, professing that it is for his glory. Now nothing vexes, and nothing should vex a believer so much as man dishonoring the Lord's name. The psalmist David in Psalm 42:10 says, "As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God?" When they mock God, David says, it's like a sword in my bones. So what can we do about it? What can we do about it? You look out when you see the president of this country at his inauguration, take the Holy Bible and actually give his speech of all things, from the book of Galatians, basing much of what he says on the book of Galatians. The more you know of the book of Galatians and the more you know of this president, the more you will see what a blasphemy that is. When you see that, that's profaning God's name. When you look at the churches and their ecumenical program, invoking God's name, that's profaning God's name. When you look at so many professing Christians living like the devil in a wicked world and being just as wicked as the world, that's profaning God's name. And oh, it ought to vex the people of God. We have got to the place where in everyday language the Lord's name just comes tumbling out of people, and his name is used with the utmost vanity and the utmost emptiness, and people just will talk about him in any way possible. Obviously despising the God of this book. The idiot who edits the Greenville News some time ago wrote an editorial about fundamentalists. And he mocked the God that they believe in. This vengeful God. He is so intellectually bright that he could not believe in a God of judgment. But what says the book? What says God's word? Anytime people say, "I conceive God to be," or "I think God must be," or "the way I look at God is," they're dealing with an idol that profanes the name of the Lord. God is what he has said he is. And anything else is the devil's lie. Let us learn it. Oh, how it ought to grieve us that even those who say they want to hold up that book are afraid of the God of the book. They're afraid to let God be God as he is revealed by himself in this book. What can we do about it? The first and foremost thing we must do is we must make it a matter of serious, earnest prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. That must be the material for prayer. And can I say, just before I close, and I haven't even got near the body of the message, I'll have to wait to deal with the petition until next Sabbath day, if the Lord wills. But can I close this morning by saying this, that those who pray for the Lord's name to be hallowed, those who say, "Lord, I have a concern for the hallowing of your name," must be willing and ready to be the means of hallowing it. In other words, this can't be praying against the profanation of the name of the Lord by the ecumenists and by the Romanists and by the apostates and by the secularists and all the rest of it, while I sit back here in Pharisaical holier-than-thou attitudes. No, no. If I am praying this, then I must be ready to live as one who knows God's name, who accepts all that God says about himself and lives accordingly, and then who sets forth to be a witness in this world to what James called that worthy name. You remember the words of the psalmist in Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2, when he prayed, God be merciful unto us and bless us. Notice the next part, and cause his face to shine upon us. As we will see when we get into the full meaning of the prayer next week, cause his face to shine upon us is one of the primary implications of the words, hallowed be thy name. It is speaking of God making himself known to us in the full glory of all his revelation. Now, what's the purpose of it? In order that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Lord, I am praying, hallowed be thy name. I am grieved to the core. It's like a sword in my bones, the way the name of God is profaned, the way the God of this book is despised. It grieves me mightily to see sinners tramp the streets of Greenville, trampling the blood of Christ beneath their feet. It grieves me mightily that people can come and go thinking nothing of God, nothing of Christ, nothing of grace, nothing of heaven, nothing of hell, where they live for self and sin and the wickedness and the pleasures of the world and care nothing for eternity. It grieves my heart, and therefore I pray, hallowed be thy name. But if they are to be more than words, Lord, take me. Cause your face to shine upon me, that as the shining light from heaven beams upon me and into me, it will beam through me, and that I will represent the holy God of heaven in a way that is fitting to his name, that I will live in a way that becomes the one whose name I bear, that my life will not profane the holy name that I take upon my lips, that it will be a constant witness to the world and a rebuke to their sin, that my words will be words well seasoned with the salt of divine grace, that my words will be words worthy, worthy of that mighty name. Lord, hallowed be thy name. That's my chief concern. But hallow it through me. Make me a witness to the glory of God. Take my life and let it be consecrated now to thee. Take all I am and have. Let the full glory of God dawn upon me and through me stream to the dark nations around who are profaning, wickedly profaning the name of our God. Hallowed be thy name. I trust the Lord will make that the chief concern we have in prayer. Until he does, we be like children in prayer who have not even learned to talk. Until he teaches us this, I fear, as far as petitioning goes, he has taught us nothing. hallowed be thy name. That's my prayer. And I'm willing to be the instrument through which you answer that prayer.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.